I've been waiting my whole life for this one moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not what that works too. Nah, man. Wake up. What's going on, good people? This is Off the Record.
Still.
We still off the record. We fought hard. We grinding. We making it ours still.
Yeah.
And we have kept it off the record, and we have a scaled down crew this good time to discuss all of your favorite or popular topics in culture and arts in society as a whole. Starting from my left to right, I've got Dan Duncan in the building.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm ready to, say something probably offensive.
That's what's up.
Per usual.
That's what's up. That's what he's here for.
I don't know why that's always funny to me.
You just like that he owns it up front?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
People think that it's like a shocking thing to me when they'll hit me up on Twitter and they'll say, like, you said something offensive. Like,
yeah
something offensive needed to be said, most likely. So,
yeah, yeah. You're kind of more of like the situation that made me say something offensive was offensive.
Right. I'm just the messenger.
Understood.
People. Fair enough.
Fair enough. That other voice that you hear is one and the only. David Perdue, what up, sir?
What's up, man? I'm happy to be here, man. This is a good day. We are a scaled down crew.
We are. This is the skeleton crew.
This is the skeleton crew, but you know what they say about bones.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, I didn't know where you were going.
You throw stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You throw stuff out there and like,
I'm going to just leave this like ellipsis, like this dot, 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 and then like we could apply the deepness to it.
No.
Without it. Okay,
no,
there you go.
That's like, I did a show called Setlist.
Oh,
where you don't know, and I was in that mode where you sometimes just throw, when you don't know what you have to say, you just throw it out there and hope like your brain will take over.
That's
and like you'll
up.
Say something clever. But then it was like, nah, you're not there today, Dave. You just drove in the car for 4 hours.
That's so, what's up.
You know what's control.
What's crazy is I've got a show called Setlist too.
Oh, you word? Know what I'm
saying? Yeah, on 4th District. And hey, man,
plug.
Yeah, it's crazy plug. I'm recording episodes, just stashing them away, just keeping them in the can.
You like Prince?
Yeah, yeah. They're just in the vault. I don't know if they'll ever come out. We'll see.
Oh, man.
We will see. So that now we know why Prince never released that stuff, because apparently he had a producer that never released that stuff, even though Prince asked for it to be released.
That's what it was. That's what it was. Prince went to his grave just like, come on, just come on, come the engineer, do it just one time for me.
One time.
Yeah.
One time. But man, it's been a couple weeks since we done got together, man. How's everybody been, man? What's been going on in your life, David Perdue?
Man, like I said, I was in the car. I just got back from Savannah. One of my best friends got married.
Okay.
So I was in a wedding.
Yeah,
Before that, I was in a comedy competition.
That's right.
Laughing Skull Festival.
Laughing Skull Festival. How'd your sets do? You did one or two?
So I was initially was in the non-competition part of the festival, which means they was on some nonsense and didn't put me as one of the 72 people that they thought was good enough.
Yeah.
But I was involved in the set list competition, which is basically you get on stage, you don't know what your set is. They put a bunch of weird stuff on screen and you have to make it up. And
that's
I won that competition
with
a bunch of people. So that was fun to win that. And then winning that, I got to get involved in the competition.
Yeah.
And then got up on stage and just was like, got real artsy. I went with my heart and not my head on stage. I was like, let me do some jokes I thought of like a month ago. Instead of stuff that's for the money.
You know what I mean?
Which is,
how'd that turn out for you?
I mean, I didn't win the I didn't win the whole thing.
Okay. But you felt good about it.
I mean, you know, I was starting to feel good. And I've said so much right now, just in this moment in time, it kind of came back at me in a wave of just like, yo, it was $1,000 at stake. You could have won that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some opportunities that might not have come to you based off of.
I didn't look best in front of people that book important things. Put it like that. They're probably like, man, we thought we had something here. And that dude. No, anyway. I'm all right with it, though, man. I had a great time at the festival. I had a great time.
You just kind of pulled a D1. It happens to the best of us.
What you mean? Oh, no, I didn't pull a D1. The set was great, but it wasn't. Let me be very clear. I was funny.
Yeah.
But was it competition funny?
Understood.
Big difference.
You did kill.
Yeah. I mean, I did fine. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't. If that was just a regular, I would be like, oh, man. But I felt.
You know what I love about Dave?
Yeah.
Is that he is the nicest dude in the world.
Yeah.
But if you start to, like, misconstrue what one of his sets was.
Oh,
he is like, no, no, no. What you don't understand is I kill.
He knows
that
his strengths.
Set.
He knows his strengths.
I will bury anyone.
I'm very competitive when it comes to that, but I'm also I get real artsy and don't do, you know.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. Man, so that's what's going on with you. What about you, Dan Duncan? What's been going on in your life? You've been traveling a bit.
I have. I can't. So last week I got to work with a client that I probably was on my like bucket list of top five clients I always wanted to work with.
Word.
And so I can't really talk about it because it's premiering this Thursday out in California.
Nice. Okay.
But I got to DP direct a really cool thing.
Yeah.
That's premiering this Thursday. So next time we get together, I'll be able to talk about it a little bit more. But that's kind of been what's consuming my life. But I'm glad to be back. I don't have travel planned outside of some pleasure. Me and Allison plan a trip to London.
Oh, nice.
Coming up in 2 weeks. We're gonna go over 4th of July. We felt like that was ironic and fun.
Take it back to the man.
You gotta report back on how that is.
Bring our own fireworks.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
So excited to be here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Summer in Atlanta, it's hot, but there really isn't a better place to kind of spend summer. So
that is what's up.
How you been?
I've been good. Been traveling a little bit. Went out to where'd I go? I was in Greensboro most recently for the week before doing some poems for the good people up there, which was cool. I made a lot of really good connections, and actually was on North Carolina A&T's campus, which I hadn't been to really. I've met people from North Carolina A&T, and I feel like they are like their level of like turn upness about their campus is pretty high on that list, like in terms of like they really rep for North Carolina A&T. Yeah, so anyway, but it was good up there for a competition called Southern Fried, and it was fresh. A lot of poets from all over the Southeast get together and compete and do slams and yada, yada, yada. It was really fresh, really, really fresh. So, yep. And just in general, just, you know, preparing for, I got some travel coming up in August and some stuff happening here. And some music hopefully coming out soon. Speaking of which, one gentleman who is missing here, Mr. Show Baraka, put out some
shout
music.
Shout out.
Yeah.
How long before, like, how many times you miss it before you're not missing anymore? Like, when do you,
yeah,
when you, do you call off the search? Like,
I don't know, man. I'll tell you what, we kept the search open for you for a minute, though.
Oh,
like, I'll be real.
Hey,
I'll
shoot.
Be real.
Like, so. Like, I know baseball, it's 3 strikes. I got the 2, and I got my tail right back here. And I heard my replacement that one episode, so I got back real quick.
Your neck. Yeah, man. Yeah, but no. Shout out to Show. Recently announced he signed with Humble Beast and put out some new music with that. And so yeah, shout out to the fathers. Father's Day was just yesterday.
Yeah,
Show be rapping.
Yeah, man.
I forgot you could rap. Like,
right. I'm used to you, so I don't think about your gifts or anything like that. But yeah, man. But what's crazy is on my way back from Greensboro, I got up there on a Wednesday and competed for most of that week, and then woke up and was coming back that Sunday, and I was waking up to just some crazy news, which was the news of the Orlando shooting at Pulse nightclub, which is a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, which really in context would like Orlando just had like a terrible stretch of days there with just really god awful events. I think it started a couple days prior where there was a shooting of a former Voice contestant, which as a, you know, I don't know how you felt about this, David, but just as a performer, it's really like sobering in the sense of like she was just doing her show, and I think she was, I don't know if she was signing autographs,
I think she was like doing a meet and greet
or something like that, and just dude literally drove to Orlando armed just to kill her and succeeded. And then not even a few days later, you had this situation, this mass shooting, which you know, by most reports, it talks about how it is, it's a few things historically, like deadliest mass shooting by a single gunman in the United States history, deadliest incident of violence against LGBT people in the United States. And, you know, really, it's also been said that it might be the highest act of terrorism to people of Hispanic descent in the United States with regard to gun violence in particular, because the United States has a very bloody history. But nonetheless, because the majority of attendees happen to be people who were of Hispanic descent, or half of those people actually hailing from Puerto Rico. So
yeah, it was Latin night.
Yeah, right?
Something of that nature.
Yeah. And it was just so along those lines. Like I it was weird because we were kind of talking about this in pre-production. But when I found out the news, like my roommate, my homie, hit me when we were like packing up to leave from the hotel, and he was like, "Hey, there was a shooting in Orlando." And he was like, man, like, I think he had said early estimates of like maybe like 15 people or whatever. And I was like, man, that's crazy. But there was still this level of desensitization that had occurred. I was just like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I just kind of like went along with my day, as sad as that sounds.
Right.
And then like maybe like an hour or so later, more news came out. I was like, actually, though, that number is rising. Like it said now up to maybe be about 30. So I was like, yo, that's wild. Like, but still, it wasn't as, I don't know what it was up, but it just wasn't connecting as much for me. And by the time I had gotten to a place where I was processing the news for myself, like I was reading about it, I was watching on TV, I almost had to like repent for just my level of like how casual I was about it. Cause then I saw the amount of the toll,
yeah,
as well as just processing human life being lost. So it was a very strange thing for me, man. But I don't know what you guys were experiences with. When did you hear about it?
So it was last Saturday going into Sunday,
right?
I was probably doing my comedy show, and I think I saw like a CNN update, like a shooting at Orlando or whatever. And I think I went to bed and it was like 16 people dead or something like that.
Yeah.
When I got home, and I woke up and it was like 49.
Yeah.
And I was just like, my goodness. Yeah. And it honestly, like we talked pre-production too, like I don't know what it is, but like there was a and I'm not proud of it, but it felt like I was definitely detached from the idea of like that level of like loss of life. And then I don't know, as it set in, I just started to realize, like, you know, I'm doing comedy, and I did not have a lot of friends who were gay. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking like, man, that could have been any of them. And then even more, I think what made it get personal to me is like, I've done comedy in gay clubs before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, who's to say that, you know what I mean, at any other time, that same person, you know, not the same person, that same type of mentality could have came in. And, you know, those bullets don't care. You know, they might have the intentions, like, we want to, you know, shoot gay people. But at the time, it's like, if you're in this spot,
we can
get anybody. And then it started to hit more home to me. And then just kind of not knowing what to do and like reaching out to a couple friends of mine who are gay or lesbian, and it was just like you realize that man, like I'm reaching out to one of my friends who's a comedian, and I said, I don't know what you're going through. And then she very quickly was like, you might.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because it's like safe spaces have been tampered with,
right?
And then it's ironic that I feel like it was on the same week of the anniversary of the Charleston shooting.
It was, yeah.
And not so surprised. It was like it kind of gave me perspective. Like, yeah, okay, it is very similar, you know, as far as like, you know, you thought a church was a safe place.
Right.
And then it was, you know, deemed unsafe. And then
it's safe until it's not.
It's safe until it's not safe. But then the same mentality of like, I've been in gay bars performing or whatever, and for the most part, very welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine it's very similar to when Dylann Roof went into the black church. Very welcoming. You're not going to think anything of it. You're just like, hey, this is our safe place. This is where we come to release. This is where we come to kind of fight off like all the ailments of society.
Right.
And have a good time or be fed spiritual or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then this person who you welcomed in probably has just a horrific agenda.
Right.
And so, you know, I did kind of, it helped me to, and again, I wasn't proud of it initially, just the level of empathy that I don't think I had, but it did help me put in perspective that like, man, that's, it's just a violation. And then even here in Atlanta, like I think couple days later, they had to shut down some club because there was a dude saying, "I'm going to kill a bunch of gay people." Mm-hmm. And he said, you know what I mean? So it was just like, man, so
it's terrorizing.
It's terrorizing. And you start realizing, like, man, this.
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah. What's up with you, Dan?
Yeah, this is weird because so I've been doing something just this summer trying to create like just space for me. And so on Fridays, I turn my phone off and I don't turn it back on until Sunday, Sunday evening. And so I honestly didn't know about it. It was my birthday. We were up at my parents' house. There was really nothing, no reason to turn the TV on or just, you know, my phone. So I didn't find out about this until Sunday evening, and I was just on Twitter, and I just kind of saw the hashtag, and it was very similar to you, Adon, where it was just kind of like, man, this happened again.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Shoot, like, this is awful, but there really wasn't, it was, again, I just felt so, and immediately had the same reaction of like, wait a second, like, I can have such a desensitized reaction to this, that shouldn't be. And so, you know, as they started to release names and faces, like, I forced myself to like go through and see everybody's pictures and memorial services and stuff like that, just because this isn't my community. I know we've all kind of talked about that a little bit. Two of my best friends actually are gay. And again, very similarly, kind of just tried to like learn and support and care for them, and it was such a bittersweet time for them because they just adopted their daughter, and so they're trying to, you know, enjoy that and celebrate that success in their life, but at the same time mourn this very real kind of attack on their community, and so it's been something where I'm just trying to, you know, learn, but also kind of diagnose the detachment in my own heart from this massacre versus the Sandy Hook massacre or any massive loss of life in this country. It seems like has hit me a lot harder, and I hate that I have to admit that.
Yeah,
that this is just different. But yeah,
let me. You know, it's interesting. We all kind of touched about this in some degrees, because even for me, you know, I've certainly grown in terms of. Like my circle of friends and close ones have expanded to be people who are LGBT or queer, identify as queer in any way, shape, or form. And so it's so much has been an education for me over the last 15 years of my life, I would say, right? But I'm curious about, because I mean, we all are Christian. I'm curious about kind of some of our responses in that way, because, and I'll use this as a point of departure, right? Popular artist, and this is off the record, we name names, Propaganda, posted an image that I believe he borrowed or reposted from Gunger, or Michael Gunger,
okay,
of the Gunger Band, of Gunger. And it was the flag, the rainbow flag. And he just said, "Pray for Orlando," or something along those lines, or whatever. I didn't check if it was removed at this point, but there was a lot of issues and grief he received by Christians who kind of objected to. They kind of were like, "Yeah, I mean, like, it's sad. It's sad what happened. Like, I don't, no one, at least in his mentions, was like saying it's good that that occurred. There was no like Westboro Baptist Church, they deserved it or anything like that. So I don't mean to miscast anyone, but there were people who took offense to that public showing of like mourning and alliance and allegiance, as they saw it. Some people objected to the imagery of that rainbow flag. I don't know. Like, I thought it was a very compelling case study. Like, just looking at this, I was like, man, here's someone who, upon hearing the news of 50 people being brutally gunned down helplessly in a club, says, ask for prayer on behalf of them and the loved ones and the people left behind. And he was met with opposition from Christians?
Man, first thing that came to my mind when you were saying that is, even though that opposition is not Westboro Baptist, I'm imagining.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it wasn't. But, I want to be clear. It
right.
But yeah.
Or that level.
That level.
Or that level. What it is, though, it is, these are like, when you do stuff like, these are seeds. These are, I see them as seeds, right? Okay. Seeds of like, yeah, but like, it's almost like we're saying that they're not worthy of the prayers. And you're not saying that. You're not saying that. Right. You know, these people, you wouldn't get them to say it. Mm-hmm. But to object to someone via, because of imagery, to say pray for something. And what I'm hearing is like, well, don't, you can't only pray for the, like, you know what I mean? Like being specific about who to have goodwill toward or who to care the most about. And that to me is trouble, is problematic. And I feel like, as, especially as Christians, man, it's like, you really got to check that. You know what I mean? Cause like that, none of that is Jesus. You know what I mean? None of that is Jesus, you know? And, just for me, and you know, like I'll be the first to admit, if you'd have caught David Perdue 7-8 years ago, different story. I'm definitely saying something a little bit different than that. But now it's just like, man, like how do you rationalize that? How do you as a person become upset that someone is like, I stand with you as a person who was just as a community that was victimized, and say, yeah, but I prefer to pray for you like this. You know what I mean? Like I prefer that you weren't. Like you're it's conditional. You know what I mean? Like where in our walk is it, is that part when someone is suffering, someone dying, it's like, yeah, I can only help you a little bit. Like it's conditional, you know, like that just, to me, just rubbed me the wrong way. Like when, cause I was, I've seen other things like that. I'm just like, that's,
yeah. To be specific, what Prop had posted was the flag. And he said, mourn with those who mourn.
Right.
And then, you know, but again, it was this flag. So, well, you know, you got any thoughts on that, Dan?
Yeah, no, I definitely do. I mean, it's funny because how awesome is it that Prop basically took the LGBTQ symbol of the flag and pairs it with a very real scripture of rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, Romans 12:15. So I think it's really funny that Christians question, Christians, I'm using air quotes right now, question like his motives or where his heart is in this by just posting the flag. And I think, you know, it's the flag, the rainbow flag symbolizing the LGBTQ community is so polarizing, right? It's literally the line in the sand of which side are you on? Do you support LGBTQ rights community or do you not? Do you support the traditional definition of marriage or do you not? And it literally is the line in the sand. And I feel like in that very post, Prop is saying, look, I don't have to stand on I can stand literally on the line and I can fully be there with them and I can fully support what I believe to be, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Right.
Absolutely not. But he is showing a way that you can literally kind of walk the line basically and fully be there and hold to whatever beliefs you do have, whether you disagree with that lifestyle or not is really not the question, because we as people need to see the human life that was lost. And if we don't, then we have basically we have now entered into a new age where we no longer define individuals or see individuals, we see groups, and those groups now define what is, you know, like
it's groupthink.
Yeah, it's exactly like, who's winning. Win. We're talking about win losing and momentum in the in the definition of marriage like debate, and what we're talking about is someone is no longer going to go home.
Right.
So, well,
I was just going to say one of the things, I don't know how I've read it, I don't know if this was true, but I feel like it was true. With Chick-fil-A in that area, was that true?
Yeah, that's true.
How
that, true.
That Sunday, who every if you know Chick-fil-A people, Chick-fil-A is not about gay
open
marriage.
No,
but not pro gay marriage. And there they were giving out Chick-fil-A. People came in giving out Chick-fil-A. So I think that was something that I feel like. I mean, I'm pretty sure they weren't trying to like public like make it this huge thing, but it was just like an example of people, Christians saying, hey. Like, we're here to help.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people need help. Our job is to help people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As of, I don't know. And, yeah. and you know, would I have liked to see that get more shine? Absolutely. You know sure. what I mean? But I don't understand why, you know, it's fine that it didn't.
Right.
But I feel like that can't be lost because it, especially as a Christian, if you are struggling with like the idea of like standing between, you know, like you said, toeing the line,
yeah.
it's like, here's this organization who was met with, I'm hearing you, pretty sure a lot of opposition from a lot of people in that, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And they were like, I know that you think that I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. I was called to serve. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm going to do that. And yeah. I, you know, big ups to them for, you know.
And it's, yeah, I think that's important to bring up. I, like in my head, I'm hearing my friends who are LGBT and like their, the issues that they have with Chick-fil-A. Like, so I'm like, do I want to articulate their position on that? But.
And let's it's be specific that it's really Dan Cathy's position.
Yeah,
right.
It's not the company's
absolutely.
Position.
Absolutely. That was right. the other part I was actually going to speak to is that like what got lost often in that is that he was articulating his view
right.
when asked about it. And it was then given to the rest. It was then ascribed to the rest of the company. However,
right.
what their issue is that there's money that is donated to legislation
right.
that goes. So it's like, yeah, that might be your personal view, but the
money
goes to public things that
sure.
affect
yeah.
me.
Sure.
Not wading into that in this particular argument, though, because I think what you're saying is important. What you said, Dan, is important, as well as just like, hey, I can serve, period. Like, I can serve the people in need. What I thought was, you know, just so I can like further unpack what was happening on that one social media post and maybe link it with something else is that what people were objecting to, what some people were objecting to in that post was propaganda using or posting the rainbow flag and the concept of what the rainbow means biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's their core issue that they would have that they just have with the flag itself and that representation being used. Right. And when, you know, people weighed in on either side of that or whatever in the comment section, but some of which came out was like, hey, like people who said that if you wanted to use that, if you wanted, they would say, they would kind of cut the baby in half and say like, well, I'm not saying not to support them. I'm not saying not to pray for them, but I'm saying the usage of that image and that flag is offensive or disrespectful to biblical understanding of the rainbow or whatever. Right. And when pressed to provide what their alternative would be is they would say they some would say, well, why not just post an American flag because we're all Americans? Right. I bring that up because did you guys see the conversation that the interview that Anderson Cooper had with that?
Congresswoman.
Congresswoman,
I don't know exactly.
She was a politician.
Yeah, politician.
Did you see that or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he kind of pressed her on behalf of, obviously he's a gay man, but he pressed her based upon conversations he had with many people in Florida and in that area who are part of that community who felt, you know, neglected and as well as not being advocated on behalf of by this particular politician. Mm. And upon doing that, she would pivot constantly to say, hey, like, this is not the time for this. I'm doing this because we're all American. She would always stress the Americanness of these people, of these victims. And I guess what hit me as what was interesting in there, and I'll stop my long soliloquy, what hit me as what was interesting is that, like, I felt like American was being used as this catch-all to cover up the fact that they weren't killed because they were American.
Yeah.
Just like
it was definitely trying to sweep it under the rug.
Just like the Charleston Nine weren't killed because they were American.
Right.
They were American. These people were American too, but they were killed for a specific reason.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like what happens oftentimes when you try to like patriotize and overwhelm that piece of it, you like don't see the force of it, like you lose the uniqueness of what actually occurred here. Like, yes, it's something that all Americans, I feel, should feel sorrow about and should mourn about.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do that based off, like, you can't ignore the specific issue that was at hand.
Right.
That shooter showed up and killed those people in that club because they were gay, not because it was because of their lifestyle. Similarly, how Dylann Roof killed those people because he ascribed to a white supremacist ideology, and that's what affected his killing. So I just felt this strange, like, man, I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can hop over the actual offense,
yeah,
and try to, like, it's a way, I feel like it's a way to not deal with it.
Oh, it's definitely a way to not deal. Yeah, when I saw the interview, I was like, she's first of all being a terrible politician, because the way she's weaseled out of it was just bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's I think it's a part of, like, I was recently just writing something about this, just trying to figure out on stage, but like, just the idea of not, like, so I can only speak about black stuff, right, in this instance, but like, mm-hmm. whenever it's like, we're all people, and it's like, I'm really saying that we're not. And I feel like I don't want my blackness is only a problem if you make it a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, let me, right. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you make it a problem, it is, but like, you wanting everybody to be this default thing.
Right.
And you're not taking into account that default is not me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I am not, you're the default. Sure. So it's easy for you to be like, well, yeah, we're all this thing, but it's like, okay, but you're taking, I like the specialness. Like, I feel like I've on stage that, like, it's happened where people are like, well, he's too black, and it's like, well, that's on you. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, that's on you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be this like anti whatever you are. Right. I'm just trying to showcase the specialness that I think parts of my culture are. You know what I mean? I, no way, shape, or form take anything away from you. And I think in this case it's very similar, where it's like, they're not, you know, to say that everybody's an American, okay, fine. But while you're saying that, you're taking away what people feel like is a very unique and special part of who they are.
Yeah.
It is who they are. You know what I mean? And so you're trying to go to the default thing. It's like, no, address the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run from it, because that's part of the problem. You running from it, not addressing it, is making it this thing that, like, it shouldn't be a thing that people... Again, it's like seeds. I said, like, seeds. It's like you're planting these seeds of, like, we don't see you.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
not seen. You're invisible to us. You are just this... blank, you are this American person. It's like, no, address the thing that you don't want to, because if you do, it's gonna come out that, like, yeah, okay, I have been doing these things because you are this. Like, I might not have put the bullet in you,
right,
but right. I've actively made your life harder than it had to be. You know what I mean? So, like, and it's like possibly making them forced to, like, face the fact that they are part of the problem. They didn't give them the gun.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it, but you're part of the problem when you can't just address it.
Interesting.
You know what I mean?
So, to be honest with you, I have no problem with people having an issue with propaganda's posts.
Okay.
If you were going to reject every symbol that Christians have ever stolen from other cultures.
Say that.
And, like, the idea of a Christmas tree.
Which is directly not biblical.
Like, right. Like the amount of like Easter, when it takes place, is most likely not actually when Jesus rose.
Sure.
Like, right. All of the, like, a lot of our traditions in the church were taken from or put on top of celebrations of of deist or agnostic celebrations,
mystery religions, or
whatever, trying to take those and twist them so that they become Christian. And so we, as a Christian culture that is in a very traditional way, have done that for a very long time, where we will take something from another culture and say, this is now Christian, deal with it. And so for us to have issue with a community of people seeing hope in the rainbow and say, well, this is going to be our symbol, and it's upsetting to you as a Christian, on one hand, I get it, but on the other hand, I can't, as a thinking person, say this is any different than what we as a community have done in the past. And so that's my biggest issue with Christians that kind of draw lines in the sand and do this now, is, are we stopping to think about all the other ways that the flip side of these coins, and, you know, and we make big issues, and we say, from on the spectrum of Westboro Baptist to kind of the sugar-coated versions of these things of, well, they're LGBTQ, we don't agree with that lifestyle, so whatever happened, and to various degrees we will condemn the violent action, or we'll support it because we feel like that's what's quote-unquote deserved. And to me, it's, we have to see these people and do, if we are Christians, do what Jesus would have done. You know, it's so like, we are Pharisees, if you have an issue with this, by saying, well, you're supporting their lifestyle. It's like, can you not see Jesus sitting with tax collectors and the Pharisees standing outside being like, you're supporting their lifestyle? Mm-hmm. It's like, are we that blind as a community and as a group of people to not see the parallels?
Yeah. You know, kind of my last thought about it and, you know, interested what you guys think is, there, I think what makes this case kind of interesting for a lot of us is there's so many intersections here in this one case that I feel as though there's a level of like, regardless of how we personally have digested it, and I think we've all kind of admitted some regrettable initial apathy towards it, what, you know, to varied degrees, right? But aside from how that personally is, I feel like collectively as a country, I feel like there's another level of like of inaction that is occurring and will and is bound to, you know, unfold, in that there's so many like entry points for this. And what I mean by that is that you have on one level like a hate crime against a protected class, right? Or the LGBTQ community, right? And so you have this class that is fought for special class, like special group status, and with regard to being left out of the having been left out of the American dreams and rights historically, and whatever. So you have that side. Then you have this terrorist element of the shooter espousing ties to ISIS and those connections, as long or tangential as they might be, right? But like, this person has like espouted some level of allegiance, or rather he swore as much, but it FBI investigated but didn't really find enough to actually do anything,
right,
or whatever, which says that, you know, he, you know, might not have had actual allegiances, but, or rather he might not have had any formal ties, but yet have ascribed to the mentality, whatever. So you have that terrible side. And then thirdly, you have this whole gun control,
man,
debate, right?
Speak on that.
And so you have this idea of like, man, how's this person, one person, able to shoot these many rounds based off of an AR, like they're able, all of this done off of this, right, assault rifle. And so I feel like what inevitably happens as to why this is doomed to not affect much is because each of those different strains have their own advocacy.
Yeah.
And they're just fighting for their own, we want to fight for this issue. Yeah. And the government, like, we want to fight for this issue. And like, we need to fight on this. And it's like, as a result, I just don't think anything will actually occur.
See, I actually thought opposite.
Okay.
Initially. Mm. Today might have changed my mind a bit. But gotcha. Initially, I was like, uh-oh. Like, if I remember saying, if I was getting pocketed, like, if I was getting a bunch of money from the NRA, I'd be afraid. Because it's like, especially, like, I think I poorly said this at an open mic, but I was like, they messed with the wrong group.
Got you.
You know what I mean? We're, like,
in terms of organization,
like, you, first you shot up. Because we all heard Obama say, or whatever, whoever said it, was like, once we allowed them to shoot up kids and did nothing,
we
were like, we're done. And like, okay. And then when they shot Charleston and no gun, I was like, well, they didn't care about us anymore. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, straight up. I was like, yeah, okay, they just shot a bunch of black people. Like, nobody, like, they let police officers do that. So it was like, whatever. But then when this happened, I was just like, oh, okay, like, they going to organize. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And push in a way that, like, hasn't been done before. Mm-hmm. But then I think I saw today they rejected the first Congress rejected, like, four common sense gun control bills. Something happened where it was like, nah, we good on that. And I was just like, oh, y'all really, like, doubling down. And I'm a dude from the South, from Jonesboro, Georgia. Like, I didn't necessarily grow up with guns, but I know people that have them. I'm not the dude that's out here super liberal. Let's melt all the guns and construct a memorial for Obama. I'm not that dude.
Right.
But I'm like, yo, like you can't. Common sense says, like, the dude that's on the list shouldn't probably have access to
the dude
to,
that can't fly.
That
shouldn't.
The dude that can't fly shouldn't be able to get a gun that has that much Like, or that is quickly. That is a weapon of, like, in my head, I process, like, we went to war because we thought somebody had a weapon of mass destruction, right? And then, right, we started a whole war because of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's very weird to me that we can't even start a conversation mm-hmm. about guns in this country. Mm-hmm. And that is it, and they become a weapon of mass destruction. You know what I mean? Like, to protect the people.
And or we cannot study.
We can't study it. Yeah.
The CDC is not allowed to
study.
I just want to study the phenomena, like what's happening here. And even that is rejected.
Yeah.
And you got some thoughts there?
Yeah. So this is going to be probably one place that I depart.
I felt it.
And so.
It's good. It's good, though. It's good.
You know, as far as common sense gun laws go, I can, you know, that's probably where you can get me to concede and say, you know what, that's cool. That does make sense. But at the same time, I feel like we are addressing, and now again, we are addressing a much deeper issue by trying to address the gun issue in this country. Now, do I think that we can deal with some surface issues and save lives in the process? Yes, I think that there are common sense gun laws that make sense. Do I think that this country should go to a place where it is very, very difficult to get a gun? No, I don't. I genuinely think that.
Can I interject real quick? Okay, maybe I agree with that. But what about an assault rifle? Like, shouldn't it be kind of hard to get an assault? Like, in the same way, I just think of it like this, right? It's pretty easy. If you're 16-year-old, you can get a driver's license, right?
Sure.
Right, and like that's, you know, like a handgun. Like, I can equate this to a handgun, right? I feel like an assault rifle is like a plane.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know what I mean? And it takes a lot more. The license should be a lot more to get an assault rifle than it is to be able to, you know what I mean,
get a handgun.
And that's, okay, I just want, okay.
Yeah, I totally, I think we probably, like, are both very, all three of us probably are very in the middle on this. I may be closer to the NRA side of the middle of this, and potentially you guys are on the other side of the middle. Really, they're called common sense gun laws because they should be common sense. And so, yes, I totally agree. If you have to take a test to drive a car, you should take a test to own a gun. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't get in the way of anyone owning a gun. And heck, I'm even conspiracy theorist enough. If you have listened to any of our shows, I talk about V for Vendetta because I feel like we're headed that direction. I'm one of those crazy.
Take a drink. A drink every time.
V for Vendetta. Take your shot.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys that doesn't really feel very great about registering my gun with the government. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want the government to be able to come knock on my door and say, "Hand over your firearm." And so I'm that kind of crazy, and I will just fully admit that. Mm-hmm. But I would be fully down to go take a test to have the ability to go to a gun dealer to slide the card and say, "Hey, I'm allowed to buy a gun. Now don't tell the government I own it."
What you've just said is like the word I'm thinking of doesn't translate well. I want to say haram, which is just means like forbidden in Islam. But what you're saying is so out of bounds from what the NRA is willing to accept.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
what I feel is like so problematic about the conversation. It's that when you say like, "Hey, I'm calling these common sense laws because, hey, I just think we should test the mental capacity of someone who has the ability to kill, multiple people in one round. Like, I just feel like we should test that. And someone should, you know, we should be able to prove that person has like sound reason, right? With whatever's going on there. And I feel like whatever happens, whatever's thrown out there, and I grew up in Ohio, Midwest, we love our guns too, right? Like, I'm certainly not saying we shouldn't like that we should not have that right. But I feel like whenever any of those things are brought up, it's like the feedback responses are so knee-jerk. It always goes to, well, you know, taking guns off the street isn't going to solve the crime problem. It's like, well, that's not what I said. Like, I agree. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think it's wrong for people to, you know what I mean? You can change all the laws you want, but it's not going to stop hundreds of people from killing. I'm like, but that's not what I'm saying. All I said was, can we have some things where we test your mind and your reason if you're going to buy this thing? I feel like if we're testing someone to pilot a 4,000, 5,000, 5,000 pound automobile and navigating at high speeds throughout the highways that I have to travel on, then why not? We should be able to do that for someone else who's carrying something much smaller that can eradicate lives. Like, and I just feel like, the fact that those levels of like that knee jerk response happens to me, like, shows the hand of like, yeah, you're not, you're so impassioned about this that you're not thinking logically along these lines. And I'm not accusing you of that. I'm just saying largely that's what happens often in the conversations. And I'm not saying that they're not people who are super liberal who just want like, hey, all guns should be melted and destroyed and there should not be another one. As ideal as some of us may feel that they may be, that's not what we're actually, that's not what is being advocated in large part. You know what I mean?
For sure. It's
just a very weird conversation that happens often around it.
It's a race to arms. You know, at the end of the day, what it says is that no one trusts anybody.
True.
And that's just the reality of the situation, is there's very little trust in this world anymore. And it's mostly because of an escalation towards guns. Like, I felt better about buying the gun. The day I bought my gun, I felt better about buying it because I saw a person buy three guns that I was like, if he has three guns, I want a gun.
I didn't think about that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so it's like,
that's the way your mind processed it.
I'm going to protect my family.
Right.
That dude's got three guns, and one of them was an AR. Like,
right.
That is... probably should have a gun. And so I don't know him. And he could have every good intention in the world of going back to his farm. And
what do you shoot with an AR? Can I
just... Before you said, though, but like, the mentality you're revealing is really helpful because I think that's, I understand that logic completely. Mm-hmm. I think you would have an added level of assurance if you knew the person that just bought those three guns took X amount of steps in order to get those guns. And you'd be like, man, they had a psychological profile done on them. They were like, whatever those things are, right? That happened before that person had it. And again, you cannot eradicate risk completely. It's all there. Like I'm not suggesting that we do this and all of a sudden we have a utopia. But what I am saying is that, you know, there's a lack of willing to face what is actually occurring. And I just feel like what happens so often is it immediately jumps to banning, and I'm like, no one's saying that, but
it's a test.
I don't know.
I have a theory. This might be coming funny. You should only be allowed to like buy that type of gun if you can pass the same test that people have to pass to like be citizens here.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God bless America.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can pass that test, then at least you could, like, you know, maybe another test is involved, probably, but surface level. If you can't go in there and pass the same test. That you're getting all your guns to protect yourself from the people.
The right that enables you to have the guns to begin.
If you can't, you don't need those guns.
Interesting.
Sure. You know what I mean? Just before we move on, for full disclosure, if you're one of those people that makes the argument that we need guns, that carrying a gun is a God given right or whatever in the Bill of Rights, it's for a standing militia. And we can argue whether we need a standing militia anymore, but it was before there was a standing army, which we now have and protects us, and we have millions of ways that we are protected, or what's the word? That wasn't what I was saying. We have what is military, but in the states when they call it National Guard.
Yeah.
We have millions of ways that we are protected, including the National Guard, and which kind of has taken the place of standing militias. So really, if that's your line of thought, really, you have to go as far as probably me to say we're eventually going to overthrow this government and there's going to be another civil war, and then in which case you would need a gun.
Yeah.
But in
who's
reality,
fighting in that war? Think about the... I'm sorry, it's like a big weird tangent, but I'm thinking like... Worst case scenario, go to civil war. Ain't nobody fighting, like, nobody's picking up guns like they was back then. You know what I mean? Like, we're like, nah, dude, I got I'm trying to, like, I got too many Twitter followers to die in the streets. You know what I mean? Like, just the mentality of people.
Likely so.
Very few people are going to, like, yeah, we're, anyway, I'm sorry.
I think more than what would occur, like, in a hypothetic or pending, if, you know, to believe Dan, soon pending civil war, we all need to prepare for the war against the crocodiles. It's occurring.
Gators.
The gators.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
The gators. Because unfortunately, not to make light of this, but unfortunately,
yeah,
you know, Harambe's
hide
revenge.
Your kids.
Yeah, it was a bad situation. This was the third thing that actually occurred
in Orlando.
Man,
messing up.
They lost. Was it a boy?
Little boy. Yeah.
Little boy got killed. Man, somebody else take what happened there, because I was
basically was at Disney. I think some Disney resort. Young boy was playing in a shallow area of water. It was not protected. Wasn't blocked off, such as like the Harambe case. It wasn't blocked off. He went in the water, and an alligator went and got the kid. And the father tried to fight off the alligator to no avail. It was just, I mean, Star was saying this is it's a sad story. But there was these different elements in the story that made it.
Careful.
Yeah. No. It didn't make it funny or anything like that. It just made it. It like raised my eyebrows. You know what I mean? So I think we talked about the pre-production. One of the things that was raised was just how, like, in the Harambe case, you know, they did their research on that whole family, their
sure.
history. You know, the father's, you know, criminal. Like, they did.
The mom had done crack.
Yeah. Right. All of these weird things to like maybe prove that she wasn't a good mother, and then
right.
with this, I've not seen a report about the father's, you know, his lifestyle prior to his son getting tech. And I don't, it's weird. Like, I don't even like making it a thing about race, but I think it is important to highlight how that happens so that we're aware of it.
Sure,
you know, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is a sad, like, it's this father, and I can't even imagine, but like, he goes there, tries to fight the alligator, and just doesn't, you know what I mean? It doesn't happen, and then to know that, like, to see how the media has responded to that instance of where, and some people were saying it's some form of neglect, because it is Florida and it's water, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know much about habitats or anything like that. And maybe the whole like Disney made it not feel like a gator was there, but like, I just drove back from Savannah, and that's close enough to the water, and I was like, if I see a gator in these streets. Like, I was on gator alert.
Right.
Anytime I'm around water in the South, I'm on gator alert. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just like, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
the very unsensitive thing to say in this situation, and I'll go ahead and say it, is that these parents were foolish to let their kids swim in a lake or stand in a lake that was murky at sunset in Florida. Like, the chances of a gator being in the water are very, very high. Now, if you're not from Florida, I get it. Maybe you don't, that's not something that crosses your mind. It's a beautiful night, whatever. But it's partly on Disney's fault for saying, if they knew that there were gators there, to not post warning signs other than the signs that say,
don't swim. Right.
We as humans typically do exactly what the signs say not to do, and there's so many signs in this world to say not to do things that we typically just disregard them as a whole to say, it's not that big a deal. So I think this is interesting. I think there's a lot of kind of fault to go around, but the people that try to make Disney out to be the evil person in this scenario, I think they're wrong. I think people that make the parents terrible parents in this scenario, I think they're wrong. I think that there's just, in life, crazy shit happens.
There it goes.
And if you're not ready for it, like, it's going to bite you in the ass.
Here's my thing. This is where I will, like, call my card as being... I'm from the Midwest. The closest body of water I have is Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't have no alligators up on Lake Erie.
That you know of.
That I know of. But I've read enough R.L. Stein to know if I see the word lagoon.
Oh, man. And say that.
Nah, I can't do it.
Ain't nothing good came from no lagoon.
Nothing good has ever emerged from a lagoon. Mm-hmm. And so at the point where your 2-year-old is in a lagoon, I don't care if it says Disney. I'm unable to get at ease with it. This might have some long, whatever historical thing having to do with how black people can't swim, that whole thing. I don't know, but I can swim, and that's yeah. so it's not that it's not even that for me. Yeah. Like, I can do this.
Clearly, these people didn't see Peter Pan because there's an alligator in that movie.
See,
and
man, man, man,
there goes Dan.
People got eaten.
There goes Dan.
But can we talk about the response, like where it was like, oh man, this boy was snatched by an alligator, so we're gonna kill a bunch of alligators. You saw they like yeah. went on this mass yes.
they
killing
like
spree.
Four of them in there.
They were just like, we are going. And I just was, I was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What
are you doing? Okay, I don't know.
I didn't feel.
Did they want a Jonah story? Did they think the gator? Did they think the boy was still alive inside the gator?
They want no Jonah story. That's for sure.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel as bad about shooting gators as I did Harambe. Let me be very clear on that.
Okay, so that's what your yeah. that's what your allegiance is.
Yeah, because look, I've had nightmares about alligators. I'm not. Straight
you
up.
Just don't like alligators.
Yo, those are dinosaurs. I don't know why we're not addressing the fact that they are living dinosaurs still walking around that can eat, like, ugh. A gator, like, I promise, if I ever ran into a gator at any point in my life, the gator, I'm not going to be able to walk. Like, I can, that's the level of fear. I don't know. I don't even know where I go after that. I just know...
It was sad, man.
I know it was sad. I know that, like, I don't mind them killing the gators. But at the same time, the gator don't know that, like, he not supposed to eat. The gator went gator, you know?
I feel like I was, like, watching, like, a Disney version of Jaws. Like, there's, like, this killer rogue alligator on the loose, and so then they go kill every shark in the bay because or every alligator in the bay because one shark went rogue. I can get it, but here's the deal: in alligators, there's 10 more that have replaced them in this lagoon at this point in time.
Pretty much,
like there's no stopping on every golf course, on every in every body of water. There's you just know to not go near it. Like
facts.
Moving on, I guess.
Yeah, there's nothing. I mean, yeah. I guess my final point is be aware, man. Like, not necessarily about the water and the gators, but just like the media and how it tries to portray things. Like, I don't know, that it just raised my antennas.
I got you.
Just to be like, oh, we gonna do the full background search of this family who kids
blood
snuck
type,
in. Yeah,
cavity
yeah.
want to know past
all
history,
that. But then we can
late
just
returns on library books.
Yeah,
like everything.
But then this and then it kind of goes back to the first point that we had, but just like those seeds of that we sow and like in the media, it's like this family is deserving of empathy and don't like we be very empathetic. And this one we put through, you know, the black family put through like major scrutiny.
Yeah,
and all they and now both families wanted was their child protected.
There it
and
is.
You know what I mean? Like that's all they wanted. So I don't know. We just got to be.
Yeah,
be aware of these things.
There it is. Well, that is a side A of off the record. We're gonna keep this conversation going. Let's move on over to side B.